Well, grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think I've ever been so happy to have a pulpit to lean on. So today we're celebrating Pentecost, as you know, and which means we're celebrating a very important step in the history of salvation. We're celebrating the day when the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles, and these, of course, are the men who are going to pass the faith down to the next generation, and the one after that, and the one after that, all the way down so that the faith and the Spirit are in your heart and in your life. And so as we think about the Holy Spirit today, I want to actually take us back about 1,000 years before Acts chapter 2, before the day of Pentecost happened, because I want to think about the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of life in the trenches. In other words, everyday life, and no book does that like the book of Psalms. Psalm 143, our psalm today that we recited together, it's one of the clearest examples, I think, of the Psalms as prayers. You know, this one is written by David, and it's a prayer of David. And a lot of people try to do stuff like relate it to points in David's life when he might have prayed it. He talked about being pursued by enemies and having to sit in darkness. So a lot of people take this psalm and they'll say that it talks about when David was pursued by King Saul. And maybe that's true, but I don't think that's why it's in the Bible. I think it's in the Bible because it details an experience that all of us have had, whether we know it or not. And that's facing an enemy that threatens our life and that we can't overcome. And so who is that in Psalm 143? It's easy, and we tend to kind of fall into this in Bible study sometimes, it's easy to look at something like the psalm and say, okay, well, the enemy is whatever is my enemy is in my life. You know, it's my boss that I can't stand, or it's my teacher that isn't fair to me, or it's my brother that I won't talk to, or my mom who won't stop criticizing me, or whatever it is, and on and on and on. But the problem is that sometimes the ones who hurt us in our life, they're really not our real enemies at all. The enemy David's talking about is in verse 3. It's the enemy who pursues the soul. That's what he says. And there's two kinds of enemies that pursue the soul, but I tell you, I think the worst one is the one in the mirror. You know, the worst one is probably our own nature, the fact that we fall short. In fact, Psalm 143 out and out says this at the beginning. It's a very unique verse. He says, no one living is righteous before you. No one living is righteous before you. Now, there's a real danger to hearing that, because what we like to do with stuff like that is tack on something like, so it's okay. You know, no one is righteous, so it's okay. Everybody's sinful, so it's okay. If you drive, you may have had the experience of getting a speeding ticket before. And if you did get a speeding ticket, or if you almost got a speeding ticket, you may have, successfully or otherwise, tried to talk your way out of the speeding ticket. Most people do. And, of course, the officers have heard all of these excuses and arguments before. So I looked up the most common arguments this week for trying to get out of a speeding ticket. And on the top of just about every single list was something that amounted to, well, everybody else was doing it too. You know, everybody else was going just as fast as I was, or faster, or whatever it is. Everybody else was doing it too. And we all know that doesn't make it right, right? I mean, we all know that. If you're a parent and you've had a kid come to you and go, well, all my friends are doing it, you know the answer. If all your friends were jumping off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? Same thing is true for our sinful nature. You know, we all have it. Nobody's righteous in the eyes of God, and it's not okay. It's sin. It's condemnable, and it's hell-worthy sin. In fact, the justification, everybody's doing it, so it's okay, that justification is part of our sinful nature. It's the part of us that says, sin is no big deal. Keep it up. God loves you. God likes to forgive. He's not going to condemn you. Don't worry about it. Wrong. Wrong. Psalm 143 says that God is just. All over the place, Scripture tells us that God is holy and God detests sin. The number one enemy to your soul is you and me. your sin, my sin, our nature. And listen, your sinful nature is going to tell you two things. It'll tell you one of two things. It'll either tell you that you're so sinful and you can't possibly do any good, anything good, so God can't possibly forgive you, he can't possibly love you, so you might as well despair. Or the other thing it'll tell you is that, you know, you're a pretty good person. Your sinful nature will tell you that you do all the stuff you're really supposed to do, and so either this stuff doesn't really apply to you, or God's not going to care about the little stuff. And I'll tell you, both of those things are lies. And they're not just lies, they are deadly lies. Our worst enemy is our sinful nature. Our worst enemy is the one that we see in the mirror. Our worst enemy is the internal enemy. But it's not the only enemy, because there are external enemies too. There are things from the outside of you that seek to destroy your soul. Three enemies of the Christian are the world, the devil, and the sinful nature. And those other two things are external. They're outside of you. They tell you that there's no hope. Remember that Thai soccer team a couple years back that got trapped in a cave? They entered the cave, and when they did, they got cut off from everything because rainwater flooded down into the passage. And not only were they in darkness, they were completely cut off from any escape route. That's the kind of cave that David's talking about in our psalm. External enemies of the soul want nothing more than to convince you that you're in that position, that you're trapped in your own cave, that you're trapped by the flow of water, and there's nothing you can do but wait for death. There's no escape and there's no way out. That's what David means when he talks about being pursued by enemies of the soul that make him sit in darkness. That's what he means in Psalm 143. And see, both of those two things, the lies that the internal enemy tells us, the lies that the external enemy tells us, both of those two things are the most difficult and challenging kind of lies. They're the most effective kind of lies because they are half-truths. They're distorted version of a little bit of truth. Because they're truths that tell you about your existence, about your sinful nature, and then they tell you to focus back on yourself. They tell you to focus on the wrong spirit. Verse 4 of our psalm says this: my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. See, that's the human spirit. It's your spirit and it's my spirit. And if in that place of despair, in that place of hopelessness, that's what we go back to, if we go back to our own spirit, we will ultimately be disappointed every time. And you know why? Because in the face of death, our spirit cannot stand. Can't. And it doesn't matter who you are, our spirit fails. And it's not a question of bravery either. You know, Thursday was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and a lot of brave soldiers gave their lives that day, showing, I mean, incomprehensible bravery in the face of death. It's a good thing, it's a valiant thing, it's a noble thing. But bravery does not overcome death. Because the human spirit just can't. And make no mistake, death and hell is exactly what this psalm is facing. Death and hell is exactly what David puts before our eyes and the Spirit puts before our eyes this morning. And to overcome that, to overcome the external enemies, to overcome the internal enemies, we gotta look someplace else, not to our own spirit. It's in verse 6 that David starts looking in the right direction. Listen, he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Now listen, he says, I remember the days of old, right? Churches like that phrase. And in times of despair and in times of hopelessness, I'll tell you, individuals like that phrase too, because we like to go back to better times in our minds, don't we? Oh man, remember when I was in college and I didn't have any of these problems? Remember when the church used to do this or used to do that? Remember when I was a kid and everything was really carefree? That's nostalgia. It's looking back to the past, and that's not what the psalmist is talking about, not at all. We look back to the days of old. We meditate on the things that God has done because it shows us who he is. It shows us what he's done, and it tells us something about who he is and who he continues to be. It tells us that he is faithful and that he is righteous and that he is loving then and now, even when those enemies become a very stark reality in our lives. And see, turning our eyes, that's the job that the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit succeeds in when the human spirit fails. Because he points us back to God. He fixes our eyes on what they're supposed to be fixed on. He turns us back to a God who brings hope to the hopeless. He turns us back to a God who reaches out to people who are in despair. He turns us back to a God who is merciful and just all at the same time. Mercy and justice, those two, did you catch that in the psalm? It talks about both of those things at the same time. It's hard to sort through those things. Derek Kidner says this. He says, the paradox of the righteous judge who justifies the wicked isn't resolved until the cross. It doesn't make sense that God is merciful and just at the same time until Christ goes to the cross and the wrath of God is poured out so that the mercy of God could be brought to you and me by the Holy Spirit. See, that's called salvation. And salvation means not only is your destination different, but the journey's different too, because you're guided along your path. Romans 8 says, all who are led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God. And here in Psalm 143, David says, let your spirit lead me on level ground. Level ground. The human spirit has a tendency to trip, and it has a tendency to fall and to stumble into despair and into hopelessness. What we need is a guide. What we need is one who leads us on level ground. And on Pentecost, that's exactly what we get. On Pentecost, we get to give up the human spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, who leads us to living water and gives us to drink and fixes our eyes on Jesus. Which doesn't mean we never stumble and doesn't mean we never feel hopeless or even feel despair, but it does mean that when we're on the ground stretching out our hands to God like David was, that we will always be picked up. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.